So, verse 2. Rudan, rudan tamohu netra yokman mrijantam karam boja yokmena satankanetram muhu shvasakampad tirekantakanta stita graiva dhamo daram bhakti param. The translation is, I bow to him who is incessantly crying and rubbing his two eyes with his pair of lotus-like hands, his eyes full of fear. I bow to Damodar, around whose belly a rope is tied with a necklace resting on his neck, marked with three lines, shaking because of his incessant panting. I bow to him who's bound by bhakti. Here's now the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami, describing the excellence of the subsequent part of the Lord's pastime. Satyavrata Muni speaks the verse beginning crying, Rudantam, equivalent in meaning to the following verses from the Bhagavatam. It is a little technical, but at the same time very sweet how a scholar approaches these pastimes verses. Now here's the Bhagavatam Shloka. Mother Yashoda had taken him by the hand, and she rebuked the mischief maker who, looking up at her with eyes trembling out of fear, was crying and rubbing his eyes with his hands, causing the ointment on his eyes to become smeared all over his face. To he who is crying, Rudanta means to he who is seeing the stick in his mother's hand and fearing a beating by that stick. He's crying in order to avoid such a beating by his display of timidity and the like. So Krishna cries in order to evoke the compassion of his mother so that she will throw away the stick and not beat him. Then obeisances is made to he who is rubbing mrijantam, his two eyes, netra yukman, with his pair of lotus-like hands, karamboja yukmena, rubbing them both simultaneously. Here we look at Lord Krishna in our mind's eye as rubbing with his two beautiful lotus hands, his big eyes. Then this is a very nice meditation. This display of fear is manifest according to the natural character of the excellence of the Lord's childhood pastimes. Or else, he rubs his eyes because he wants to take away the fear, the tears, which suddenly appear due to the influence of strong fear. Or another meaning is, he rubs his eyes to check the flow of the tears which run down his face. These are the three meanings. So here obeisances are offered to Lord Krishna, whose eyes are filled with fear. So we can imagine if his eyes are so much filled with fear or apprehension, how much more fear must be in his mind. This is what Sanatana Goswami meditates about. If he's already so fearful in his outer behavior, how much more his mind must be stricken by fear. Or it can also mean we offer obeisances to him whose two eyes are beholding his mother with fear. So Krishna has now stopped playing. He looks around with fearful eyes and wishes to avoid a beating. Now there's another part of this meditation. Sorry, I'm trying to keep the limb from pulling. No. I have to find a good place. Here, this is an ideal place. So the meditation comes now about the necklace of Lord Damodar, his Kalaiva. This meditation is not only about his necklace, but all of the other neck ornaments, such as the string of pearls, which are resting on his neck. Lord Krishna's neck has three lines, like a conch shell. And his neck is shaking because he breathes in and out so heavily due to the force of his crying. So to this Lord who rubs his eyes out of fear of a beating, whose neck and whole chest is shaking, causing the three lines to move very beautifully. Who has a belly which is tied by a rope, to this form obeisances are given. Why? Well, because he's actually the supreme controller, and he's now in this situation, this very sweet childhood situation. In the Bhagavatam, this situation has been described. Gopiko lukale dhamna babanda prakitim yata. That gopi Yashoda bound him to a mortar with a rope as if he were an ordinary child. What a situation. God is bound. Now, Sanatana Goswami continues, clarifying the binding of the belly and the mortar to each other with a rope. Satyavrata Muni describes now the supreme excellence of the Lord, especially the excellence of his quality of being controlled by his own devotee. The obeisance is made to him who's bound, that is, who accepts bondage only because of bhakti. Either his mother's bhakti with himself as the object, or his own bhakti with his mother as the object. So either he's bound because his mother loves him so much, or he's bound because he loves his mother so much. He is not bound on account of the strength of the rope. No, it's a bhakti which binds him. even an unlimited number of robes gathered from all over were still insufficient by a measurement of the width of two fingers. This is also described in the following passage from Srimad Bhagavatam. So all the robes in Braj were not bringing him under control. It was the bhakti of his mother to him, or his own love for his mother. When her mischief-making son, this is now the Bhagavatam, was being bound, the rope was found to be too short by a measure of the width of two fingers. Then the gopi Yashoda joined another rope with that one. When even that was insufficient, she joined yet another rope to it. However, whatever binding rope she took were also always two fingers too short. In this way, Yashoda, joining the ropes in her home, was not successful. Sanatana Goswami continues. The term bound by bhakti, bhakti badam, can be taken metaphorically so that it explains the cause of the Lord being Damodar to be that he is bound, badam, that is to say brought under control only by bhakti. So bhakti bound him, not the robes. This is also the meaning of the following from the Bhagavatam. Seeing the endeavor of his mother, her body sweating and the flower strands in her braids disheveled, Krishna mercifully became bound. Ho! The quality of being controlled by his devotees was thus most certainly exhibited by Hare Krishna, under whose control this world, along with its controllers, rests. Despite the fact that he is absolutely autonomous. So he's totally independent, but still he's bound. Neither Virincha, Brahma, nor Bhava, Shiva, nor even Shri, who resides on the body of the Lord, have achieved this mercy which the gopi Yashoda received from the giver of liberation. He, the Lord, the son of the gopi, is not easily attainable for the embodied, for the followers of the path of Jnana, or for those who understand themselves to be the soul, as he is for those in this world who possess bhakti. Similarly, the meaning indicated by this metaphorical interpretation of the term bound by bhakti, bhakti badam, may also be that the various pastimes such as tearing down of the pair of Arjuna trees are performed with regard for the bhakti of Sri Narada, as seen from the following statement of the Bhagavatam. Aha, so bhakti badam does not only mean Krishna is bound by the bhakti of Yashoda, but as we now hear, it can also mean that he was bound by the bhakti of Narada, because we hear that Narada was once granting the two sons of Kuvera the benediction that they would be meeting Lord Krishna, who would rescue them from the curse of being trees. Because Devashi Narada is most dear to me, this is the words of Krishna, I will thus grant these two sons of Danada Kuvera the benediction that was uttered by that great soul. So, these are different possibilities which have been revealed by Srila Sanatana Goswami, that the Lord has one excellent quality, and this excellent quality is that he is actually bound by the love of his devotee. Not only the love of Yashoda, but also the love of Narada Muni, and for that reason, the love of all the devotees. He has said in the Bhagavatam that the devotees live in his heart, and he lives in the devotee's heart. And this binds him. And Lord Krishna himself is sometimes amazed about his own qualities, and Lord Krishna was also amazed about this quality which we hear now, and which appears also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He's controlled by the love of his devotees. What had happened? After he had actually broken the two Arjuna trees, and the two souls had gone back to God, said goodbye to him and gone back to the planets where they would always remember him, and then after their time had been finished, they would go to Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna was there with a mortar around his waist, and the mortar behind him, and the rope which bound him to the mortar around the waist. There was at that moment nobody there. So he was just thinking, I have just now delivered these two demigods from the strongest chains which are there, the chains of their karma. They've come out of the tree body, and they have been delivered from the curse which bound them to this tree for many, I think it's thousands of years. I've just delivered them from this, but I myself am still bound. And then he thought and thought and thought, and he came to the conclusion, this bondage which is binding me, or this rope which is binding me, is insurpassable. I cannot overcome the strength of this rope. In other words, I'm not strong enough to cut the rope or break the rope, because it's a rope of love. The rope which was bound by Yashoda, which was made by Yashoda, cannot be destroyed by me. And in fact, I do not want to destroy it. So this is how Krishna himself was amazed by the super excellent quality of being bound by the love of his devotee. And this whole verse, the second verse, which starts with the word Rudantam, crying and rubbing his eyes to try to check the flow of tears which comes out of his which comes shooting out of the eyes, and his neck, a beautiful neck with three lines like a conch shell, just shaking from his heavy
fearful breathing. This is all a manifestation of intense love for Mother Yashoda. It's so strong, this fear, that it covers all the other qualities of the Lord, like for instance the quality of His being able to control millions of universes. It's amazing, this point has been brought out in a scholarly way by Srila Sanatana Goswami, and I think we begin to appreciate he's really so scholarly approaching this, and brings out such sweet meanings where we have to just say yes, it's just like this. We are very much blessed to hear this information about the Lord. Tomorrow we will read text number 3.
Prabhu ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandini, Hari Hari Bol.